Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hey, groomers! How you doing? Hey, Susie, how you doing?
Wow, it's so great to be back. I had a fantastic vacation, which I'll tell you about in a little bit. Welcome to episode 202 of the Groom Pod, recorded on March 31st, 2019 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Amazon and Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Stazco, South Bark, and Evolution Shears. This week on the Groom Pod, we're talking about contact time for shampoos. We'll learn about lactic acid and we'll answer a couple of Facebook questions about accessories, butt rash, and possibly studying, depending on how far we get. And this episode's brought to you by Stazco Products, featuring the famous Stazco Conditioning Spray. Find it online at Groomers Mall. All right, Barbara, it's been forever, like 3 weeks.
I know. I can't believe it. I missed you so much.
Do I look older?
No, you look refreshed and younger because you had a vacation.
Oh, I had the best time. The ship was spectacular. The food, we didn't have one bad meal in 7 days, not one bad meal. With the new menu on the Ruby Princess, it was made to order. No more staging up of the meals for the dining room, and everything we had was absolutely wonderful. As a matter of fact, Princess has really good fettuccine alfredo, which is one of my favorite things to eat. It was even better this time than usual. I don't know what they did. They took away my very special Parmesan cheese bowl, you know, when they melt the cheese into a bowl and they used to put it in. That's gone, but I'll suffer with that being gone to have this spectacular, fantastic fettuccine that I had. I pretty much had it almost every night.
I know. I love fettuccine alfredo, but boy, it's fattening.
It is fattening.
Yeah, it's fattening.
The first night we stayed in Long Beach at this fancy hotel, and we went to eat at a family Italian restaurant around the corner that I'm sure was owned by Lefty and his gang.
You mean it was authentic?
Oh, man. We walked in and there was a wedding going on the right side, and there were really cute young waiters singing a cappella.
Oh my God.
And the portions were massive. It was in a little bit of a shady neighborhood, I would say, but it was in a huge warehouse and the place was packed and people were lined up out the door. And the Princess fettuccine rivaled their fettuccine, and you know their fettuccine was authentic. I got to meet the walrus and the whale at SeaWorld, the ever so controversial SeaWorld. I know probably a bunch of you guys are like, Susie, how can you go there? Well, I actually love it there. They do such a good job of taking care of their animals, and they let me pet them, and I like to pet things. So, you know, it's just cool. But the walrus was the highlight of the entire trip.
Oh, I know. Well, that was really up close.
Yeah. They're like vacuum cleaners. They just suck the food in and it's gone. Yeah. And I got to get a fist bump kiss with his with her mouth, and oh, it was so amazing. I smelled like fish though for like 3 days afterwards. I couldn't get it off my hands.
No kidding.
Of course, the big disappointment for me was the roller coaster was down.
I know. I couldn't believe it when I saw that. God, the whole dang trip was built around that roller coaster ride, and it was out of the picture. What a disappointment.
It was. When we got in, we had to go right to our animal interaction station over to the Arctic place where we were going to meet the whale and the walrus. So we had to walk right by Electric Eel. And when we walked by, there was a short line forming right at opening, and they were running the coaster. But we had this appointment. I couldn't get in line at that point. They actually never loaded anybody into it. They ran it. It didn't run right. They shut it down. When we came out of the exhibit, it wasn't running. So we went and I rode the other roller coaster, which is really a better roller coaster anyway. I really like it. It's Manta and it has a great special effects in the beginning and it's got a couple of launches. It's a terrain coaster, so it swoops back and forth. I like that coaster better than Electric Eel, even though I didn't ride Electric Eel, but in theory. So late in the afternoon, we were walking around. Oh, we went in and had our hands eaten by those little fish that eat all the dead skin off your fingers. And oh, it was bizarre. And so we were doing that. And I looked up and I saw the coaster go over the top hat a couple times. And I thought, oh, it's going. And then it never went again. So they were testing it, but it never ran for the day. So I missed out on the coaster, but that's okay. I went to Alcatraz. Alcatraz was cool.
Alcatraz was cool.
Yeah.
It was I've spooky. Been there. I thought it was, well, okay.
It was spooky. And, you know, I probably should have walked through there when I was like six or seven. My life might've had a different trajectory.
Yeah, I don't know. It's always depressing to me to see how humans can treat humans.
It's a people shelter. I mean, it's, it's like where the discarded people go because they're bad or naughty or they can't be rehomed or they're not people friendly. You know, the place that creeped me out the most was the kitchen because a lot of death happened in the kitchen. And you could just tell my hairs stood up on end. It was just creepy. Yeah. And they racked the doors. We got to hear them rack the doors, which was just fate that we were there when they were messing with the doors. So that was good. The horseback riding in Ensenada on the beach was pretty amazing. The beach was glittered with gold mica. So, so beautiful. So it was dark kind of gray sand with gold flecks of sparkle in it and garbage and, you know, plastic and all that other crap. But the cool thing was she knows I'm a dog groomer. So she let us have her five dogs for the ride too. So there were six horses and five dogs. It was great.
That's good. On the beach and everybody had a beach time, huh?
Yep. And we had great weather the whole trip. It couldn't have been better. There was not even any rough seas. Our stateroom attendant was spectacular. And here's the best part. I know you'll love this. And then I'll stop with the vacation talk because it obviously has nothing to do with grooming. I met my trivia people. I walked in on the first day because I love to play trivia. It's my thing. And I'm very competitive. And I went to the front of the class and I said, the class, you know, the the trivia room. And I said, I'm looking for the competitive trivia players. And two couples waved me over. I played with them the whole week. One of the wives, they cruise together a lot. One of the wives writes every trivia question and answer down in a diary. And then when they're at home, they quiz each other out of the trivia questions.
Oh,
from the
my
ship.
God.
That my people. They're my people. Oh, man. And they're disruptive. They're horribly disruptive. It was perfect. I fit right in. Yeah, that was my vacation. It was thanks you guys for letting me take it. I feel bad because the sponsors missed a few weeks of ads, but you know, they know we love them and I'm sure that we'll just add a little extra.
Well, you know, one of the things that it just became really clear to me, it's obvious, but one of the huge advantages of advertising on the Groom Pod is that it's forever.
Yep.
You know, it's not like the magazine gets thrown away. It's forever. It's out there. And anytime someone listens to episode 160, your ad gets heard again. It gets a lot of playing time for the buck on the Groom Pod. And I don't feel too sorry for them to miss a few weeks. Because you put up some best ofs and the old advertising came up. Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll excuse myself on that one.
Yeah.
So one other thing happened, one other big thing, and that was the Northwest Grooming Show. It was another great show. And I did a lot of Facebook Live and I did some videos and some interviews. And I'm tortured by this, Barbara. I don't know how to make the best of my trade show grooming expo experience anymore because all I want to do is wander around and talk to people about the podcast and meet groomers and take selfies and get free stuff. And I don't get to any classes anymore. I just don't go in there. So I didn't pay for any this time because I just realized that I'm doing all these other things and watching the demos and the classes, competition classes, that I'm not going into the trade show classes as much as I used to. I've got to fix that.
Well, it would, yeah, you need to be allowed to go in is what it should be, you know.
Oh, I never thought of that. Yeah, that'd be cool.
You know, hello.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe next year we'll take some of that groom pod money and I'll go and I'll pay for the show that way instead.
Well, no, I think that we should put the pressure on you know who to allow you a choice of, you know, a couple of things, because look at the publicity that you're giving the Northwest Grooming Show.
Well, yeah.
It's all year round. You talk about it all the time. And look at that everything that you did on that tour of the trade show.
Yeah, how about that tour of the trade show? That was so much fun. I was a little nervous. I know that my camera skills are a little wiggly. I didn't use my selfie stick. I should have used the selfie stick, but I'm not all that comfortable with it. So instead, I just held the phone and walked around with it. I thought I got great response, though.
Yeah, you did. You did. That was fun. I enjoyed that little tour.
Cool. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I want to do more stuff like that because I like watching when other people do it. I could tell I was nervous because there was a lot of excess giggling. So excuse me for that.
She says giggling.
It's my go-to. So what went on with you while I was gone? Anything exciting or was it just business as usual?
It's interesting. There's an overview that I'm going to share because what seems to be happening with my business is that I seem to be having a turnover of losing customers and gaining new customers.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's interesting. But among my new customers this week were a pair of Beva Terriers. Now, Beva, that's pronounced Beva, but it's spelled B-I-E-W-E-R.
Beaver.
Beaver is how I would have said it. But I was corrected and I was instructed that the correct pronunciation is Beva, like diva with a B.
Ah.
And they're those adorable little toy, tri-colored Yorkie mixes, but they're not Morkies.
No, they look a little different.
Yeah, no, they're definitely not Morkies. They're more like a calico, tri-colored calico cat with a white base and then orange and black.
Cool.
And one of them had more black hair and lots of tiny, tiny little aggravating tangles. And the other one had more beigeish white hair, and he had an easier to maintain coat. And I spent a lot of time talking with the new customers. They just moved here and bought a home. I'll be seeing these two terriers again. But they're so cute, so freaking cute. And one of my skills is that I really can capture the cuteness.
Oh, yeah, you're good at
that. A dog. You know, I've just got an eye for cute. And I trim their little faces. So cute. She loved it. And we got the snaggly one all combed out and on a 3-week schedule because it's a challenge. You know what I used? What really helped me be able to comb that was my half moon comb, my Asian grooming comb that I got mine from Chris Christensen. But of course, Utsumi kind of originated that shape and type of comb. And that comb is really good for that fine coat tangles because the pins on that comb are so small that they can work to break apart the tiny tangles.
Neat. So what were their personalities like?
Oh, they're funny. They're fun. They're not at all contentious, you know, like they're just kind of lively, a little barky.
I wonder if they came from Jonathan. David, did you ask?
No.
Because he's a prominent breeder. Yeah. I think so.
Well, no, I didn't know that. So I didn't ask directly. I know they got them from a breeder and it was from where they lived before.
That would be interesting. But
it was fun to have my hands on this. I've always kind of wanted one of those dogs, and and it confirmed that they're, in terms of a toy, they're a good choice. But she's never going to be able to have a long coat for one thing. They get really dirty here in Arizona. Arizona's funny because there's just not enough greenery. There's just more dirt and dust. We have a little Barcus interruptus going on here.
It happens. Hey, we've got two new Patreons.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Names.
We've got Shauna Gardner. And she joined a while ago, but I haven't been here, so I haven't been able to announce her name. Our second Patreon person is Sarah Anderson.
All right, Sarah, thanks for signing up.
Yeah, so you guys, if you want to know how to support the show, Patreon is a great way that you can, like, give a monthly donation to us. It's basically tipping your bartenders. Only Barbara and I are your bartenders, and we're dealing out groomer information. So that's a way you can support us. That link is on our website. Hey, I went to the website and I put up sponsor links.
Oh, well, good for you.
Yes. And then I was going to put up a link to your shopping cart, but Barbara's changing her shopping cart, I think. So I didn't put up a link to the shopping cart. Yeah.
I'm just fed up. I just don't understand what's been going on with my shopping cart. And I don't really have I'm paying a fortune for it.
Get out.
I got to get out. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So let's take a quick break and we're going to hear from Best Shot. And then we will be back with our first appointment, which is all about contact time and shampoos. We've all been there. Your appointment shows up and it's a matted mess. The products you choose can make a huge difference in the end result. The Ultramax line by Best Shot is the perfect solution. It was engineered for serious professionals to get dirty jobs done right. The Ultramax system starts with the shampoos. Ultramax Pro is a dilute as needed shampoo. Use it directly on the coat for degreasing, 15:1 for deep cleaning, 50:1 for light cleaning, or anything in between. It's perfect for recirculating bathing systems, and there's also Ultramax Clarifying Shampoo. Ultramax Pro Conditioner is so light but so powerful. It has Best Shot's special coat-releasing technology for superior de-shedding and de-matting. It never adds drying time and works great in recirculators. And a body splash. The whole Ultramax line features a modern sweet pea fragrance. This isn't your grandma's perfume. It's delightful. Whether it's Ultramax, One Shot, Ultra Wash, or any of the Best Shot lineup, you can expect the finest quality and true performance. They'll help you make masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Find Best Shot products at quality distributors and online at bestshotpet.com. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. There was a question on Facebook, which I am going to pull up right now and read to everyone, and then you can give us your input, and I will have some questions probably, because I always do. So that's what I do best, is ask questions. Renee's last name is On, A-U-N-E. On, own, and I've, anyway, now that, well, I've butchered anyway. That appropriately, she said,
let's just go on a first name basis.
I like it. Okay, Renee says, I have a question. Maybe this has been answered, but I don't remember seeing it here, so here goes. Aside from medicated shampoo, does contact time play a role in product efficacy? Now, I could just leave it at that because she's got a whole lot more question here, but I'm going to read the rest of it. I've heard no due to the molecular charges of the shampoo versus dirt that simply running it over will clean a dog fine like a bathing system. I've heard shampoo should sit on the skin straight on for dry hair, degreasing. I've heard longer than 15 or 20 minutes in water is not therapeutic. I'm just looking for the most effective bath with my products. Maybe examples of when it's better to leave things on longer and why. Thank you for your input. Efficacy is the key in mobile grooming. So she's a mobile and she's just wondering about that leave on time. And I know that I asked this question like a year and a half ago, and it was more of a work in progress at that point. Have you come up with any solid feelings about whether the shampoo needs to be left in contact or whether it just the agitation is what it needs?
Cleansing is a combination effect, and it has to do with the nature of the cleansing surfactants and the any mechanical agitation or massaging or movement, and temperature.
Oh, temperature too. Okay.
But here's the bottom line simplified thing. Ionic ingredients, cationic or anionic. Cationic being conditioner ingredients like polyquaternium 10, which is ubiquitous, or anionic like sodium lauryl sulfate, sodium laureth sulfate. Those ingredients act immediately to attach to the hair shaft, right? Bam, it's there. Bam, it's done. It's immediate. The contact would be spreading the product around.
Okay.
Takes time, but the actual action takes less than a second, right? Now, moisturizing, conditioning, or skin softening or medicated ingredients require more time to penetrate the outer stratum corneum, which they don't always penetrate all the way, but to sink in. Let's just say to sink in. Okay.
Yep. Got it.
So to do the basic job of cleaning, which is the primary job of the shampoo, takes very little time. And depending on the strength of your detergent, additional time adds greater probability or possibility of irritation and undesired results. Okay, so you really don't want to leave like a degreasing grime time or something like that on for like 15 minutes to have it do better. It's not going to do better by more time. They do better by more concentration of product or added temperature or agitation.
Would you describe it kind of like this? Surfactants are opportunistic in that they have to encounter the dirt to then do its thing. So moving the surfactant around in the environment or in the hair is far more important than the contact time. The contact time actually being more dangerous if you leave stuff on there for too long.
Right.
Am I getting that right?
I could say I agree with that statement.
Ooh,
yes.
I'm
good
learning.
For you. You're getting so good. You really are getting very knowledgeable. I'm so glad.
You should have seen me at the trade show with EnviroGroom. I was having a discussion with EnviroGroom because I personally know Jason. I've known him for quite a while. And we here at the Groom Pod don't support his products necessarily because they don't disclose their ingredients. So I walked up to the dance floor and I curtsied and I asked him to dance with me about ingredient lists. And I questioned him as to why he doesn't list ingredients. Does he think we're going to run out and make shampoos, or what is his theory? And he really didn't have a great dance. He just instantly became defensive, and it wasn't as fun as when you were there, Barbara, but I started the dance. I got on the dance floor and I got asked to dance. So there, I'm making progress.
Good.
Now, there is a point at which contact time does make a difference, though, and that's in conditioning and medicated shampoos, right?
Right. But not all conditioning ingredients require time. Your cationics do not require extra time. They're quick, bam, because it's like almost like magnetic force, that all they have to do is contact.
Okay, all of that noise there, that was Barbara clapping her hands. I'm sorry. Edit some of it out.
Sorry.
But I'd share that with you guys. Yeah, okay. So just in the same way that the surfactants just hook up with the dirt.
Yeah, yes. But it's the argan oil, it's the lactic acid, it's the other kinds of protein. Well, if they're not made cationic. So, for example, a high protein shampoo like the iGroom shampoo, where they've got lots of protein in there, in order to get maximum value of their protein, you would need to leave the shampoo on a little while. It's almost like a medicated. It takes time to soak in.
Medicated shampoos, too, because they're actually treating more skin.
And again, the actives in the medicated shampoo need time to soak into the stratum corneum, the outer layer of the skin, in order to have more than a just surface effect. Theoretically, the cleansing is pretty much a function of the concentration of the shampoo, the type of detergent cleaner in the shampoo, or the combination. You can get very technical. One of my technical papers that I use to reference a lot talks about four or five different types of soil that are in the hair.
Wow.
And there's different things work better with different types of soil. So you have lipid soils, you have soil from previous products, you have environmental soils.
I bet I have my very own special kind of soil. I bet I just bet I do.
But, you know, so you can get really technical. And one of the conclusions or takeaways from the discussion in this very technical paper of cleansing and different soil types is that combination of surfactants often does a better job than just a lauryl sulfate or just a laureth sulfate. But, you know, like, so when you combine surfactant detergents, it's not just a way to use less of the potentially irritating surfactant. It's also a way to ensure that you pick up the different kinds of soil that might be operating on your hair. And another factor which influences the cleaning ability of your shampoo ingredients is the condition of the surface of the hair.
And the water too, right? How hard your water is and stuff.
How hard the water? Well, because the hard water adds the calcium and magnesium that binds up some of the cleansing surfactant, or if in the case of soap, a lot of binding occurs. But in the case of detergents, it still binds up some, so it lessens the ability. You need a more concentrated solution to deal with hard water. Yeah, so we can get extremely technical and go on and on and on, which I won't do, but I've gone into the deep end on this. And it's fascinating. So it's good to have a combination of strong ionic detergent, it may be a lesser, a Loreth type thing, or a non-ionic detergent in there. And then if you add cationic conditioners, you still have a fairly fast-acting shampoo. If you add other kinds of conditioners, like oils and goodies like that, that's where you might need more contact time.
So this is exactly why the recirculating systems are so good, is they give the surfactants more opportunity to pass more of the dirt more often, right?
Yes. Yeah. They do the spreading around without necessarily relying on bubbles and foam to spread the surfactant molecules throughout the coat. And without the massage, they also provide a gentle agitation. You know, massaging the hair with our fingers can actually damage the coat. This is probably not relevant unless you're doing long drop coated dogs, right? Or dogs that whose coat has to last a lifetime. When we're clipping and cutting and removing hair a lot, it's not as critical a matter of how much damage we might be doing in the shampoo. But our massage action that rubs hairs together and jumbles them up like that, that can really rough up the hair cuticle. And repeated doing of that can really cause substantial damage that's hard to repair. The recirculating bather provides agitation or mechanical action to kind of loosen debris without smushing the hair cuticles together.
There's a nice water cushion between them.
Yeah, so it's a very gentle and effective way to separate the hair and get the surfactant to cover every little bit of hair without causing mechanical damage to the hair.
Now, with some of these shampoos, we don't get the benefit of an ingredients list. Now, most of us who listen to the podcast probably are leaning towards companies that do list their ingredients. But when trying to figure out if you need to leave the conditioner or the shampoo in contact with the hair, look for directions on the ingredient label that say leave in contact for 5 minutes. If you see something like that, you can suspect that there is an ingredient in there that needs a little bit of time to do its work, like Barbara was saying with the oils or stuff like that, or maybe perhaps non-cationic proteins or things like that. All right. Cool.
Good.
Very good. Okay, move it on. Mo and Abby from Evolution Shears were up here for the grooming show, and I spent a bunch of time hanging out with them. They are really cool people, Barbara. I don't know if you spent any time with them, but they're fun to hang out with. They are our kind of peeps. You would just dig hanging out with them. I stood there and I watched them do their magic. I filmed some of it for the walk through the trade show, but their booth was hopping, and watching them fit the shears and explain their shears and just getting them into people's hands is fascinating. They really know what they're doing.
Boy, this sure was a lot of shear vendors at that show. That's happened before too. They
too many. Little,
too many, right? I know. I think it makes it harder for people to make decisions and make choices when there's so many. I think they ought to control that.
I do too. In a perfect world, you should perhaps look at your vendor list and try to include a few of each type of vendor that would apply, you know, but when you have too many vendors of one kind, then nobody makes enough money to pay for their booth.
Yeah.
Not that I'm worried about whether all the vendors are making their money back or not, but it is a concern because they might not come back if they don't make their booth rent out of the show, because it's a lot of work. So anyway, if you'd like to get some Evolution Shears, I recommend going to a trade show and having Abby or Mo actually fit them to your hand, because that's really cool. But if not, you can just give them a call, 877-560-3057. And you can also ask for Chris. Chris is their number one salesperson, Chris Bear Anthony. And she also has a podcast called Traveling Groomers about mobile grooming with Mary Aquendo. You can ask for Chris and she will happily write up your sales. And before I forget, if you mention the Groom Pod, you get, I think it's $10 off each pair of shears.
Well,
I know it.
Helpful.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
You study them hard and hope to pay.
time for back to school, Barbara. How about a definition du jour?
Okay, so I've been working on a table comparing different show season conditioners, and I ran into an ingredient that we may have talked about before, but I want to cover it, and it's lactic acid. So I know that the first time when I started seeing in ingredient lists these acids, I kind of freaked out because my mental impression of an acid is like a powerful ingredient that will strip off paint.
I have a superhero impression of acid. You know, it pours on your face and disfigures you forever. And you have to wear a mask.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
And actually, yeah, it's like freaky. It's sulfuric acid and it smokes and, you know, it's all weird and powerful and everything, but it's not so. Lactic acid is one of several alpha hydroxy acids, AHAs. It's an acid that's used a lot in skincare, and at a high percentage, like 20 or 30%, it's used as a skin peel.
Oh, a peel.
So it does.
See, that's what I would figure.
But it's also used in shampoos and conditioners in tiny amounts to just adjust the pH.
Kind of so like citric acid is used?
Yeah, kind of like citric acid is used. Citric acid is another AHA.
Yeah,
it's another hydrolic acid. It's another acid that's used in larger amounts as a skin peeling agent.
Oh.
Okay, so, but skin peeling is not necessarily bad. What is good about these alpha hydroxy acids is that they remove excess scale from the surface of the skin.
Just like those fish.
Yeah, they're exfoliating agents.
But it was weird.
But lactic acid is also a humectant, a moisturizing agent, and that's the purpose that it has in many shampoos and conditioners. And it's natural occurring. It's not created synthetically. It's created through fermentation of carbohydrates and sugars. That's how it's manufactured. So it kind of passes that test if you're looking for natural ingredients. It qualifies, and it's just an effective remoisturizer in our shampoos and conditioners, and so it's a good thing.
Is it common?
It's common. It's not in everything, but it certainly is one that Show Season uses in a two or three of their conditioners. You'll see on my table that I will publish soon.
Is it going to be colorful? I like colorful tables.
Oh, I'll do my best.
Cool. Is there any concern with lactic acid, or is it pretty basic?
I don't see any concern. Well, and you know, like, come to think of it, here's a non-ionic ingredient that could be in a shampoo that might benefit from a little extra contact time.
Way to tie it in. I love it.
Tie it in.
Gotcha. Good job. Nice callback. All right, cool. Well, there has been a lot of chat on the internet, well, especially on the Groom Pod list, about Show Season's honey shampoo and conditioner. So I want to learn a little bit more about this product. So will you tell me more about it?
Well, what's new is the conditioner.
Okay.
The honey shampoo has been around for a year or so. I mean, it's a fairly recent addition. I think I don't know exactly when it was introduced, but it has Manuka honey.
I saw that.
Which is our, you know, like the fat ingredient du jour. but it has a great fragrance. The fragrance is called oatmeal, milk, and honey. It's a fragrance that it's a top-selling, highly popular fragrance in human cosmetics. Okay.
Oh, really?
Honey, So oatmeal, milk, and honey, and it's available now in the matching conditioner. So now you can kind of up the fragrance value of your overall service by using the honey conditioner along with the honey shampoo. And Show Season carries the oatmeal, milk, and honey cologne.
So you can like layer your smell.
So it's all the same fragrance ingredient in all three of those things. So you can have a totally layered, or you can pick and choose if you would want to just use the oatmeal, milk, and honey cologne and not have anything really on the skin. You can do that. Or if you want to add more fragrance value, you can use the cologne. A lot of people loved the honey shampoo so much they didn't want to use another fragrance in a conditioner that offset the fragrance of the shampoo. So we got matching now. Plus, it's an excellent conditioner.
You could almost use that as a marketing thing, like sell the milk and honey and oatmeal bath day spa package. So you would use all three products, maybe do an upcharge of $2, maybe throw a cute picture of the dog in the robe. Like Barbara, I love that picture of your dog in the spa robe.
You know, I had a whole shitload of those spa robes and somehow I lost them. I either gave them away or they walked.
Oh.
I know.
Wah, wah.
So, I was just chasing down an idea and I forgot it before I found it. So I'm sitting here on my laptop. Well, what was I looking for?
Yeah. Oh,
like, why did I come into this room?
Yeah, I love that.
Wait till you're 79, Susie.
I hope I make it that far.
You'll know exactly what I mean.
Okay. Well, I'm excited. I ordered some of the honey conditioner. Do you think it's going to be similar to the hypo conditioner? Maybe with just some fragrance in? Because I really love that conditioner base. Yeah, that hypo base is spectacular.
It's very similar. So I can tell you, I can look on my table.
Excellent.
That is nearly finished. And I can tell you that it's very similar and it has a little bit of dimethicone in it.
Yay. That's what I like best.
So that's what we like to see that. And it also has a little bit of almond oil.
Okay. So it might benefit from a little extra time on the coat.
So when you see this chart, you will see kind of the common ingredients that you'll see the base that Show Season uses for their conditioner products. There's a common base of cetearyl alcohol, sterol conium chloride, and dimethylstyramine and lactic acid that is in four of my six products.
Ah, I bet that's the part I like.
I think basically you like their basic formula. And this is just a little bit amped up with extra Manuka honey, dimethicone, and almond oil.
Well, I'm excited to get it. It's coming from Show Season through Cascade Grooming Supply into my hot little hands, hoping soon, like next week. But if you guys are interested in ordering it for yourself, you can go to showseasongrooming.com, have a look at the ingredient list, take a look at the product description, or make your order from there. But if you want the wholesale price, I advise you to give them a call at 678-382-0218. Or if you happen to be already set up, you can email your order and get your hands on some of this really cool honey, milk, and oatmeal smelling honey shampoo with Manuka honey. All right, quick break, and we'll be back with our At the Table segment. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. Okay, more Facebook questions, Barbara. And why are we doing Facebook questions? Because I didn't write anything for today.
But it's also our favorite way because we like to be interactive.
It's true. I love answering questions.
We want to talk to groomers about things that come up to them, not just our ramblings.
Even though it does seem like this is Susie's personal classroom, we do want to include you guys. Okay. Delise asks, how about the importance of accessories to help promote your business? How accessories keep you connected with your clients and set you apart from other groomers? I like this question because Barbara doesn't do accessories.
Well, I did accessories. And let's define accessories. I think she's talking about leashes and collars.
Oh, really?
What were you thinking she was talking about?
Bows and bandanas and scrunchies and nail polish.
Oh, is
and...
that what you were thinking? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, see? There you go. Yeah, see, I was thinking of accessories for sale.
Yeah.
And I kind of don't recommend doing that. But bows and bandanas and that kind of stuff, yeah, I have ambivalency.
You said something when I brought this topic up, to know your audience. Know your clients. So, Barbara, what are your clients like?
Well, I have a lot of clients that are not, that don't care.
Right.
Okay. What they care about is the styling of their pet. And that's my niche.
That is.
That's where I set myself apart from the competition is that I'll comb out and scissor and leave more hair.
Right.
And do a style and et cetera and so forth. But I do use bows and an occasional bandana. I found bandanas in my dirt parking lot. I don't like to find them there.
Right.
That means they didn't even make it into the car.
I get a fair amount. I know. I get a fair amount of them washed and ironed and returned. I love that.
Yeah. Well,
that's a lot of work for the client. I don't want them to have work after the grooming. You know, that's not the point. So I do it, but I do it for a very unique reason. I like to celebrate the holidays. And since I don't do a lot of celebrating at home, it's one of the ways I acknowledge things like 4th of July and Valentine's Day. And what's that green holiday that we just had? That one.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. So I like the bandanas and the bows more specifically because I think that the pets know that the grooming is over when you put the baubles on.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So the bandana comes out and you instantly see the dog's body react. You know, they relax and their tail starts wagging and they start getting excited. So for me, it's a signal to the pet that we're finished. And even if they get thrown away, I'm okay with that because me and the dog have this agreement that when the bandana comes out that I'm done and I won't mess with them after that. So I like that symbolic aspect of putting the decorations on, and I like the celebration of the different themes, but some of my people choose to opt out. The way I do it, and this is just me personally, is everybody gets charged for an accessory. It's folded into the cost of my doing business, but if you want to opt out, I'm perfectly happy with that, and I will write it on your card. I'm not going to remove the dollar. The dollar's still going to stay on there. But you don't have to have the bandana or the boa. That's okay with me. Do you think it sets you apart by using a particular kind or something like that?
Well, I think that it could. So when I do buy accessories, I tend to buy the less common ones. You know,
the unique stuff.
I just have a little bit of an attitude because I remember that where I learned to groom, we would have a saying, if the grooming didn't go so well, maybe you didn't get the result you wanted or maybe for something like that.
Yeah.
The boss would say, put a bow on it. You know,
I totally remember that.
You know, like, put a bow on it and send it out. You know, like, it was like, that just meant it's good enough.
Right.
And then when I started specializing in Bichon Frise, it's hard to put a bow. You take so much time getting a perfect head shape and everything being appropriate. And then you smushing bows.
I'm not good with the bows up there. So I don't really put ear bows in because I can't get them even and I struggle with it very much. But I'll stick a bow on a collar. Or I will put a bandana on, or I bought some bows from China off of like Alibaba or eBay or something like that. They were pretty cool. I use bows. I like to put something on and I use cologne. I'm big with cologne. So they always get a hit of cologne and some kind of a decorative accessory unless you tell me not to do it. And then I will write it down and not do it. Yeah. I think knowing your audience is like, there's people. Well, pretty much everybody's been with me so long, with the exception of the new flux of people I added like a year and a half ago. I buy my bandanas from Aslan's Accessories, and they repeat patterns, you know. So sometimes people are not all that interested in having the bandana, but I'll always stick a holiday one. Even if you ask me not to, I'll throw a holiday something on there. I have fun. Like I say, it symbolizes the end of the groom for me.
Yeah, my bather has fun with that. And if we do a top knot or if we have a puppy or an old dog that's like yesterday, I did a Lhasa Apso with long ears and I did the little ponytail thing where you put a elastic band or a rubber band around the bottom of the ear and then it's a little ponytail. And I put bows, little tiny bows on it.
Cool.
And I did it because as I was grooming Cookie, I thought, this girl doesn't have many baths left. My impulse was then to make this a special bath.
Yeah.
Just in case I didn't see her again.
Right. Talk about awful. I lost a person.
Oh, no.
Yeah, an unexpected person. The bulldogs that I do every other week, baths. Yeah, the grandmother. Who was the one who met me with the dog every other week for the last 2 years.
Oh, dear.
I was so excited to tell her about my trip because she used to love to hear about my adventures and she passed from pneumonia.
Oh, God.
74 or something.
Well, she's younger than I.
I know. It was freaky. Yes, than you. Way. Wow. I mean, she was not. Yeah. So that was freaky. Anyway, I digress. Next question. we're going to answer the butt rash question, which is from Dana. She says, I have several dogs that can't have their anal sac area. I'm assuming she means the butt, not the anal sac, since they're inside. So they can't have the butt area clipped with a 10. No matter how clean the blades are, or how careful I am, they get irritated. And I certainly do not want a scissor there. What can I do to trim the hair there? Actually, I do scissor that. I scissor it sometimes with blenders, but mostly with those teeny tiny detailing scissors.
You know, if you go to enough seminars, you'll find there are teachers who will say, never use the clippers. And there are teachers who will say, never use the scissors. But guess what? You got to either use the clippers or you got to use the scissors. That, you know, what's the option?
Well, you're not going to
strip the hair off.
You know, pass.
You know, you don't have to use a 10 blade, but, you know, I certainly wouldn't want to use a 7.
Right.
So you could go to a rocker snap-on clipper. You can get them fairly close to like a 5 blade there, but it's really a matter of technique. To me, it's really a matter of technique. And I, when I do use clippers, I don't press down. My whole clip bearing style, which you've seen, is I have a light touch and I do a lot of sort of skimming. And if I'm going to clip around the anal area, I will do around the actual anus. There's the anus, and then there's the area underneath the asshole to the bottom, right?
Right.
Okay, I will clip gently right around against the grain on one side of the anus, and then on the other side of the anus, and then I will just scissor what's down below.
Right, down in that butterfly.
Yeah. And I use blenders down there too.
Yeah.
I don't like the bare ass look. The baboon butt. Yeah. I don't like a baboon butt. I don't like to do that. And the only time that I'll do it, if the owner requests me to do that, or if it's an old dog with a incontinence problem or something, you know, I'll do that.
Yep.
But basically, even on my terrier butts, which would be the closest that where closeness is desirable, because that whole butterfly area, which is the area that's in between where the thigh hair grows towards the butthole, and then the hair in the butterfly grows out toward away from the butthole.
Very cowlick. Spot.
Yeah, that's called the butterfly.
Yes.
And in that area on a terrier, you want that to be real firm and it should be short.
Tight.
So that there's a distinct seam where those two directions come together, right?
Right. The one thing I want to mention is I am spoiled because I have a lip system, an over-the-table groomer support system. So whenever I'm working on a dog's butt, because I prefer butt, when I'm working on a dog's butt, I always have that belly strap under the dog's belly so that they can't sit down on the clipper, because I have had some horrible hair disasters and some rashing caused by the dog sitting against me while I'm trying to clip and hold the tail up.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, I've had that happen and actually nicked the butthole.
Boy, that'll make an itch spot and then they'll go crazy and create a big rub spot. So if in fact you have created an issue back there, the travel size Gold Bond powder is your solution. Get the Gold Bond powder, send it home with the owners. If you think you've irritated it back there, it's like a buck, something like that at the travel, in the travel section.
It is a buck. It's a buck at Target in the travel section. And you should just go buy 5 of them and have them on hand.
Just in case.
Give them out freely. They're also give them out if you do poodle feet and you get a little too close and have issues there. So
yeah,
I think that our poster just needs to decide where she has the greater control.
Good point.
Either, you know, either scissor and maybe using blending scissors instead of straight edge scissors, except you don't want to chew around the butthole.
No. Nice pun there. God, yuck. Okay, on that note.
We'll leave that now. Yes, now that Barbara has been so blatant.
I think we're going to...
an asshole, for heaven's sakes.
There you go. And we're going to call this episode In the Can, Barbara. I'm so glad to be back together with you and having our Groom Pod fun, and want to thank all of our listeners for all the support, and tell everybody that I met over the last weekend how great it was to meet you and how much fun it was to take selfies with you. And I totally
how much
dig
I miss not being there.
Next time. We're going to figure it out. We'll figure it out. All right, cool. Thanks, everybody. Happy grooming. We'll see you next week on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Okay. Watch those butts.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.
Okay, I'm scrolling. Here we go. It is from... Ah, shit.
That's a common one.
This is...
Sorry.